Welcome back to Partners in Crime. I'm Ashley.
And I'm Curtis.
And I did the intro backwards.
It's just been so long since you've actually had to give an intro.
We are a monthly podcast now, it seems like.
Why? You don't even post once a month.
Yeah, actually, I have been posting once a month. I guess we are about once a month now. Anyways.
Did you really just say that?
Yeah. So, today we have a case.
Wait, you got to make a joke? I want to make a joke.
No.
Why?
Because we're getting into the case. It is 11 o'clock. I'm tired.
Okay, but this is what they want to hear.
No, it's not.
Okay, I'll make it quick.
I promise you it's not.
But it's not ahead. Quick. Okay, so I was just having a snack. The listeners can't see it, so I have to describe this. We're going to help, okay?
It's a melon. He literally ate a melon. He cut
wow.
it in half.
She doesn't know what it is.
The whole thing out.
It's so good. Anyways, what do Romeo and Juliet and my snack have in common?
I don't know.
Cantaloupe.
I don't get it.
Because they couldn't elope because they died.
Is that a cantaloupe?
Yes, this is a cantaloupe.
Oh. Well,
I feel like that was good for true crime.
Romeo and Juliet is good for true crime?
Well, yeah. It's like the original true crime story.
Yeah, I guess. I guess when you put it like that, it kind of is, so.
Right.
Okay.
I learned a fun fact today.
What was it?
Speaking of Romeo and Juliet, did you know that William Shakespeare came up with the word swagger?
In what context?
I don't know the context, but he came up with the actual word.
That's interesting.
It was from that Justin Nunley guy that's on TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the one that's like, you watch part of a video and then he says, listen!
Or nobody cares, but...
Yeah, that
yeah,
guy.
Yeah. I know who you're talking about.
Maybe he's listening to this podcast right now.
Yeah, I doubt it. Nobody
cares.
Yeah,
me too.
So. It's something he would say is, oh, nobody cares, so.
True.
Oh, that was weird. Our audio just stopped recording, and it started again.
That is weird.
Hopefully it's not interrupted. Anyways, I guess since we're just talking about random things before the case, I fell on my route today. And twist my ankle. Now I'm off of work for a week, so.
Speaking of work.
Oh my gosh.
I'm not allowed to plug myself, but I'm doing it this one time. So, since probably, I don't know, like 2 times ago, I stopped working at the post office. And I opened up a business called Tactical Trash Out. And let me tell you guys that I absolutely regret doing this podcast now.
Why?
Because I go into these houses and I see how people left their houses or if somebody died in there. And then I just think of the weird ways that they could have died because of doing all of these.
Right. But seriously, like, he has to go into some houses and be like, did they die in the house? Or, like, what kind of a cleanup am I doing or whatever?
Yeah, for sure. You find, like, roaches and mice and everything. So there could easily be somebody. I could go into a house to give an estimate and somebody could literally be dead and they just didn't even know it.
That's so gross. No, I don't want to. Because, I mean, whatever. I found a dead body on my route, and that's not part of my job.
True. I don't know if I told you, but this one house I went into the basement, and there was carpet rolled up, and I didn't touch the carpet because all I could think is, what if there was a dead body in
it? Oh, my gosh.
And Drew helped me at the house, and he said, I bet there's a dead body in there, because we were on Franklin Street.
So, I'll just tell you my story one. The one time it happened to me is I was just crossing the street. I walk up to this house, go through their gate. They have a screened-in porch, and the guy is just sitting on the bench, I guess, the seat. And he looks like he's sleeping, but my body did this thing where it was like, it just was like, whoom. I don't know. That's the best way I can explain it, but I just felt like my whole body was like, something is not right here. And I was on the phone with him, and so I was like, I think that this guy is dead. And he's like, he's probably sleeping. We don't call the cops. We don't get involved. That's not our business. He's like, leave the house. So I did a quick drive-by back after I finished delivering that street. And he has not moved from the same position. His stomach was like just exposed from his shirt. He had flies on him and stuff. And I'm just, I call in a welfare check, which typically we do not call the police as male people because that's just not our business. You stay out of stuff. You don't see nothing. You don't hear nothing.
Mostly in the hood.
And I drove by again 20 minutes later. There were police officers on the scene. He was still on the porch. And I said, is he okay? And they said, no, ma'am, he is deceased. And it's 90 degrees out here. And he would have been much worse off later on. His handicapped brother is inside the house and had no idea that his brother was out here deceased. He came here to take care of his brother. Seriously, it was like traumatic. And it was so surreal. And 0 out of 10, do not recommend finding a dead body.
Only because you brought this up again, I have a question. Is this the first time you've ever seen a dead body?
Not like in the raw, I guess. Like, not at a funeral.
Yeah. Yeah. Like in real life?
Yes.
Wow, that's crazy.
I don't like to see dead people, so.
I see dead people.
It's not that crazy.
I don't have that copyrighted.
Yeah, just disclaimer.
Disclaimer.
So, today.
I still see dead people.
So, okay. So, we're going to jump into the case because we've spent 6 minutes of your life wasting it just talking about our lives. So.
For the Patreon.
We don't have a Patreon. Curtis wants a Patreon because our fellow, his ex-coworker, my coworker, has a podcast and he has a Patreon now.
Shout out to Podcast of Pain.
So speaking of Podcast of Pain, this episode today is brought to you by Podcast of Pain. This is a handpicked episode from Darius and
wow.
Darius, I hope you enjoy it because let me just tell you, I bought a whole book on this case because I was literally just obsessed after I started reading about it.
Props to Darius for getting a shout out on the podcast because I can't even do that with my business.
Yeah, well, Darius shouts us out all the time. So
and
go
he
check
shouts
out
my business more than
go
my wife.
Go check out his podcast. When you search it, you have to search The Podcast of Pain.
Maybe I'll just marry him.
And it's, stop it. And it's Pain, P-A-Y-N-E. P-A-Y-N-E. Yeah, P-A-Y-N-E. I had to think about it.
That's how I feel.
It was in pain.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm in pain.
Because he supports me more than you.
So I'm wearing an ankle boot right now. I guess better than an ankle bracelet.
I've been wearing an ankle bracelet since November 30th.
Anyways. So
and if
today,
I wind up dead, you know why.
We're going into our story now. So today we are going into the murder of Travis Alexander. Have you ever heard of him?
Reminds me of that one guy. Remember that had the concert and all the people were like dying in it? I don't know his name, the rapper.
No, this is
Travis Scott. I think that's what it was.
I don't know if that was what his name was, but oh,
the one that did like the demon ritual. Yeah, the guy in Fortnite.
Oh yeah, and like all those people, it was just super hot
there.
Wait,
I think that was Juice WRLD.
I have no idea who it was. I just know that it was all over TikTok, and I was tired of TikTok for like a week.
Yeah, because there was 8 people that died at that concert, and he wouldn't stop it. People were screaming to him to stop the concert, and he just kept going.
Okay.
Like, people were being trampled and everything.
Yeah, I don't know a lot about it because I didn't really care to look into it.
We could cover it for the next podcast episode.
Yeah, I guess we could. Except for it wasn't really true crime related, so.
Yeah, but it could be a conspiracy corner, too, at the same time.
My goodness. So, Travis Alexander, so today's case is based in Mesa, Arizona. Why do I always say Mesa? I always say it wrong.
For sure, Mesa.
So, Travis Victor Alexander. So, spoiler alert, he does not live because I just said it was the murder. So, he was born as Travis Victor Alexander on July 28th, 1977, which was the same year my mom was born, by the way.
Wow. So, you're saying that he's only 29?
Yeah, well, yeah, which is coincidental because I'm 29 too.
Wow, I can't believe you and your mom are the same age.
I know. And he was born in Riverside, California to parents Gary and Pamela. At age 11, Travis moved in with his grandparents. Travis's dad died in 1997. And the rest of his siblings at that time moved in with the grandparents as well.
Can I just pause you?
What?
I just want to let everybody know that there were lots of comments made about how they thought Ashley was reading off of paper. And I just want to assure you that now she is currently not, because she bought an iPad and she writes all of her notes on there. So now she's actually just reading off an iPad.
So funny thing is, I actually bought a notebook subscription. So I can, anyways.
Something else to spend some money on.
so this is most of my information in this case today came from the book Our Friend Travis, which I will link in the show notes. Great book, highly recommend. It's like $8 for your Kindle, and it's got a ton of information, firsthand accounts from his friends, and it's just a good book. So I'll link that in the show notes. Travis's parents were addicted to drugs, and his childhood was full of neglect and abuse. He was bullied at school, all around had a rough start in life. Once moving in with his grandparents, he began going to church. School was hard for Travis. Most of the time, he would eat lunch alone in the library. He was bullied for everything. He did enjoy going to church, though, and he really found himself, breaking out of his shell. And he became active in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, which I believe is a Mormon church. Latter-day Saints.
I have no idea.
So he was thriving there. He was happy. He felt safe. He had a sense of belonging. After high school, he started serving as a missionary, and he was assigned to serve in Denver, Colorado. And he spent 2 years here from 1996 to 1998.
What would you do as a missionary in Denver?
Well, I mean, it's like the same thing as people do here.
What's a missionary? Like, they just go.
So,
So
like,
you're
the
telling
missionary
me.
is like to spread the news of the church.
Right, so you're telling me that the church is putting them up in like a hotel in Colorado.
Well, they're probably paying them a salary, and then they're living in a house, or they're renting out a house that's owned by another
But
church, or
they're
like a
missionaries.
sister
Like, think about
church.
when missionaries go to like Brazil or like
Yeah.
Madagascar. They don't buy a house there. They have to build a, I don't know,
I don't know.
fort.
Listen, I didn't look into that. That's not the point of this.
Okay, I
So,
was just thinking.
cool, he was a missionary. On Travis's 20th birthday, his dad, because this is prior to his dad's death, so we're kind of backtracking a little bit. So, on his 20th birthday, his dad, Gary, who had recently cleaned up his life and was mending things with his children, tragically died in a motorcycle accident, on Travis's 20th birthday.
Wow,
Yeah.
that's deep.
So Travis laid his dad to rest, and then he resumed his mission until 1998. Once home, Travis began going to a singles-only congregation, which was kind of something that his church set up for just like single adults to meet other people with the same faith, if that makes sense.
Yes.
He was happy. He was meeting new people. He was hanging out, making friends. And so that's where he's at now. Much better than his childhood, which was it pretty much sucked, according to basically all accounts. Travis loved the show The Office. One of his favorite things to say was, "That's what she said," like at every opportunity, and that is totally you. You say that all the time.
That's what she said.
Anyways, Travis met somebody named Chris at his church, who would later introduce Travis to a company called Prepaid Legal. Which, if you're like me, you might be wondering what prepaid legal is. Basically,
Feel like it's self-explanatory.
I don't know what it is. So it's access to legal help to be, so
They have
you
to pay
would,
for it beforehand,
yeah,
right?
you would be paying a monthly fee. People who sell these plans move through the company and make money as people under them make money. And
So it's a
on,
pyramid scheme.
so is a, yes,
Or
it's
a
so
Ponzi scheme?
on Tuesday, September 16th, no, Ponzi schemes are different. That's where like we
Well,
all
I thought
put
you were
in
trying to
money.
correct me that it wasn't a pyramid scheme.
No.
I know the Ponzi scheme's like that one on Facebook that was like, you put in 200 and you put in 200 and somebody will win 1600 and then you do it again and
Yeah,
again.
that's
Yeah.
eventually you're the winner of it. But anyways, on Tuesday, but by the time you're done, you've probably already put in 1600, so
Right.
I just
Unless
realized
you're the
that.
first one to make 1600.
On Tuesday, September 16th, 2001, Travis bought his legal plan and became an independent associate of the prepaid legal company. This company being a multi-level marketing type business, so yes, like a pyramid. Really honed in on how well you can work with people and draw them in. So In just a few short months, Travis made it, what?
Pyramid schemes. That yeah. is funny.
So just a few short months, Travis made it so high in the company that his income was like a little bit over 100 grand a year. And he was able to quit his other job and he moved up quickly in the company and was offered a high position with more income, but with more fees and expenditures. So at this time, he turned that position down. In 2004, he found the perfect home and figured out a way to make it his own and packed up to move to Mesa. I should have just wrote it like that. So I would have just... So Mesa, Arizona. His move from California to Arizona was more successful than he could have imagined. He found another singles congregation to meet and mingle with single people close to his age. And he was, by all accounts, doing amazing. He made great money. He had a solid spiritual life, great personality, and now a ton of new friends with his new company.
I'm just trying to figure out, like, where this could go wrong.
I know.
So this guy sounds like he's on top of the world.
He opened his home to a friend, to friends from church and work, and he rented out rooms to his friends for extra money and just kind of help with the mortgage payments and stuff like that. Travis's parents had a long history of weight issues, which led to Travis having the same issue, but he battled this with a workout routine, diet, and giving himself a cheat day once a week.
There you go, Travis.
So I don't give myself a cheat day once a week, and I diet, so maybe he was onto something. I don't know.
Well, he doesn't have the chance of getting divorced if he cheats.
No. Well, no, he was single, but it meant on his diet. And like, by all accounts, to his, from his friends, is his cheat days would be, like, gorging himself with, like, everything that he was not allowed to have during the week. So, like, same. I'm just saying. That's why I don't do cheat days. Travis was known to have had three serious relationships prior to this point. I'm sorry. In his life. But they just never worked out for one reason or another. Deanna Reed was one of these three, but their bond was different. Even after breaking up, they vowed to remain friends no matter what. He loved her a lot. It was his first real love, and they had similar personalities. Friends of Travis speculate that his past childhood trauma led to most of their issues. They remained friends anyways. And then in 2006, Travis met Jody.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. So, Jody Arias, have you heard of her?
Is that the one that was on TV that one time that you were watching?
Probably. I watched it.
And she was like crazy, just like glasses, so, brown hair.
Glasses, brown hair. Yep. Totally innocent. Ugh. Just like, I would never.
Yeah, yep. That was weird.
So, Jody Arias was the oldest of four, born to parents Bill and Sandy Arias on July 9th, 1980. So, they're both born in July. Just saying. Her childhood varies from source to source, but she attended Eureka Union High School in Eureka, California. I mean, not even saying that.
Eureka.
But she did not graduate from this school, but instead went on to get her GED, which nothing wrong with getting your GED. In September 2006, at a prepaid legal convention, Jody, who was 28 years old at the time, met a now 30-year-old Travis. She had previously worked as a freelance photographer, but after Travis and Jody met, they really hit it off. In the same week that they met, Jody ended a relationship with a 4-year-long live-in boyfriend because she was, like, instantly obsessed with Travis. And they spent a weekend together, and Jody actually ended up converting to the LDS church and, like, the faith. And Travis actually assisted in Jody's baptism because that was a big deal. He wouldn't have been in a relationship with her if she didn't share the same faith as him.
Oh, so yeah, I guess maybe. I mean, that's like similar to Mormon.
Yeah. So Travis's friends tried to be supportive of this fast-blooming relationship, but there were just a lot of red flags. So Jody would just show up whenever she wanted to, not calling, just show up. Travis's friends quickly were claimed as Jody's best friends, even though they barely knew each other. She would be like, oh yeah, those are my best friends. Like, she had no friends of her own or something. Which, I mean, I guess you try to fit in with, like, your...
I'm a little creeped out.
They're not... Okay, so,
I've dated people like this.
Okay, but listen, they weren't dating at this point.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I get it, but, like, you don't know what they were doing.
Yeah, so...
I'm saying, like, what if I had like dated like a Jodi Arias.
No, I don't think you've dated anybody like
Jodi?
yeah, like Jodi.
I'm just saying personality wise like that, like wanting to be the best friend right away or like showing up unannounced or anything like that. Totally
Yeah.
happened.
That's yeah. So Travis's friends were just kind of they're not really sure about Jodi at this point. So Travis was blinded by Jodi's love or blinded by love by Jodi. He was completely in love with her. Jodi wanted to have kids, get married, and converting to the Mormon lifestyle and faith was her way of getting this with Travis. So she was all in. A few weeks after the baptism, Jodi tells Travis's friends that she thinks Travis should invite her to move in with him, but she was still living with her ex-boyfriend in California at this point.
Well, that's weird.
Like they split up, but they're still living together. So Travis, while very into Jodi, was still getting over his ex, Deanna. So it's kind of like a big mess, in a way. So Jodi was still insisting that she was going to marry Travis. It just wasn't it wasn't really a hope, it was more of an obsession. Travis wasn't ready for any of that, but they still kept dating. At this point, they're dating. And for living 4 years apart, sorry, I lost my place. And for living 4 years apart, they managed to spend a lot of time together because she lived in California, he lived in Arizona. So they were definitely doing long distance, but meeting up a lot too.
Wow.
So all the while, Jodi was intimate with both Travis and her ex-boyfriend Daryl. So come on now.
Ew.
She was playing both of them. Jodi says that her and
Did they
Travis,
both know about each other, though?
I don't know.
That's
It's not really
interesting.
clear if I think he knew about her ex, and I think her ex knew about him, but I don't think that she made it clear that she was seeing both of them. If that makes sense. Or
Yeah.
maybe she was, I don't know. Travis began a, or her and Travis began officially dating on February 7th, 2007, and they had a very unstable relationship because Jodi was very immature. And Travis just really liked Jodi, and he didn't really seem to notice the oddness of Jodi. But she drove a wedge between him and his friends in an effort to isolate him. And at this point, she was still living in California. So just for an example, she had begged his friends to talk to Travis about her moving to Arizona. But when that didn't work, she forwarded a quote unquote stalker email to Travis. Specifying that they live too far apart to be safe, and his friends laughed because, like, in this email, it was basically like a stalker emailing her saying, like, I know you don't live with your boyfriend Travis. You guys live 4 hours apart. So obviously you're not safe here without him.
So she
Obviously,
had
that was
wrote
Jodi writing that. And his friends were like, that was totally Jodi. And Travis got upset. He was like, no, like she's clearly unsafe. Like, he was worried about it. And his friends just laughed because they were like, okay, well, that was Jodi. But he was worried while together, Jodi was over the top clingy, like to Travis. And by all accounts, he was happy his friends, sorry, I don't even know what he was happy. And his friends growing more concerned. She was over the top with the PDA, but extreme, which really did bother Travis because, like I said, he was Mormon. So he did have some, like,
Right.
reservations about him. He loved her, but he was also like, you can't like act like that in front of our like in front of my friends because it's just not appropriate, you know? So another time Jodi got infuriated because Travis wouldn't stare into her eyes in the car while they were sitting in the back seat. Like she got like livid over it.
How interesting.
So it was just weird, not healthy relationship things. After catching Jodi awkwardly eavesdropping, getting mad about everything and anything, they decided to break things off at the end of July in 2007. While he was sad that things ended and he cared for her a lot, he was ready to take back control of his life because, like I said, she was very controlling and
Right.
isolating him and stuff like that. So he was ready to get back control of his life. He actually came out telling his friends that he was scared, but he was uncertain if he w but they were uncertain if he was serious. Like he said, "Oh, I'm scared of her, like blah blah blah, 'cause she's crazy and stuff." But like they didn't know if he was just joking or if he was legitimately scared of her. May 18th, this is like it's kind of sad actually. He wrote this on his blog, quote, hold on. I can't read. Okay. So he wrote this on his blog. This is a quote. So this type of dating to me is like a very long job interview and can be exponentially more mentally taxing, desperately trying to find out if my date has an axe murderer penned up inside her and knowing that she is wondering the same thing about me. End quote.
How strange.
Now it was May 18th of 2008 that he wrote that on his blog, okay?
So, like a month and a half before he broke up with her.
No. Like almost a year after they split up.
Oh, okay.
And he's dating again at this point. After they split up, Jody moves to Arizona.
Like a new dude.
No, you like read that. Like, I read that right. Red flag. At this time, he had been seeing someone new, and her name was Lisa Andrews. They went to church together, and he was older, but they seemed to work well together, and he was very interested in pursuing a relationship with Lisa. He still spent time with Jody since she now lived in Arizona. So he's still hanging out with his ex. He's trying to have this new relationship with this girl named Lisa.
I bet you he was hooking up with the one girl too, with
So
Jody, because that's what she was doing with her
we'll
ex-boyfriend.
get to that. So even though
Okay.
his friends hated it and he assured them that him and Jody were nothing more than friends, he later admitted that the two of them had been messing around.
Uh-oh.
So
And he's
there's
Mormon?
that. Yeah. But he's
Uh-oh.
not like committed to either one of them at this point. So at the time he was planning a trip to Disneyland with his new love interest Lisa, and though his friends tried to get him to cut Jody off completely, he just couldn't do it. Lisa and Travis began getting more serious all the time, though. But even still, him and Lisa ended up breaking up, like briefly, because she wasn't ready to settle down with, like Travis wanted. But like I said, this was brief. And then she realized that Travis was great and she did want to be with him. So if you can't follow, as this is like extremely confusing, I'll just recap really quickly. So Travis and Deanna split up. Then he met Jody. He liked her a lot, but still loved Deanna. Then it got serious with Jody. Then they split. Then he met Lisa. But Jody, despite Travis's effort to be good, continued being seduced by Jody. And then time and time again, the cycle repeated.
So what you're saying is Travis was a player.
A little bit, yeah. But I don't think that he was like super serious with any of them to this point. So in December of 2007, someone slashed Travis's tires, and everyone immediately was like, that was Jody.
Because she was
Right?
so weird,
No,
yeah.
because she was so like obsessed with him. But Travis denies this. He got them replaced, and they were, I don't know. I didn't look into that. So Jody denies doing it. Obviously, she's not going to be like, yeah, I did that. No big deal. So she denies it, and she denies doing it the second time as well. Even still, Travis was determined to keep his friendship with Jody, and things with Lisa were still getting more serious. Jody would break into Travis's house when he was there with Lisa, and not being aware, she would purposely move things, like turn the lights on and off while they were upstairs, and they'd come back down, and like things would be moved, the lights would be on or off. Just
So they think they're seeing a ghost, and she's just like,
no,
yeah,
like
I'm gonna
it's just
stop them
right.
from
It's
doing
just like the
anything.
pettiest of things. Travis's tires would get slashed at Lisa's house, and Lisa's tires got slashed at Travis's, and you can kind of get the idea.
Wow.
So she was just slashing tires and taking names, I guess. But so Jody would hack into his accounts, change his things online, his passwords, his statuses, all of that. MySpace was a thing back in the day, which used to make her mad because during MySpace times, like Deanna was his top, like his number one.
While they were
Top, yeah,
dating?
like his number one top
Oh my
friend.
gosh. Are
And
you making that up or did you find
no, I
that?
actually read that somewhere. I don't even think I put it in here, but I did read it
Wow,
somewhere.
that is crazy.
So you know how like serious the top
Yeah, it was
friends
so
were in the
serious.
MySpace land. So
MySpace land.
at this point she was full-blown
You ever meet
stalking
my friend
Travis.
Tom?
No. What do you mean?
Tom was friends with everybody on
Oh, I know,
MySpace.
I deleted him, I think.
You can't delete
I feel
him.
like I did delete him.
You still can't delete him. He will come back and haunt you in your sleep.
Anyways,
Hey, it's me, Tom. Welcome to MySpace.
So at this point, she was full-blown stalking him. And if he got a new friend on MySpace, she would go send that girl a friend request. Like, that's where she was at. See here, I'm bringing up the MySpace thing.
Right.
Even at this point, it was so painfully obvious to what was going on. And he just kept falling into her traps of seduction and apologies and threats of suicide. You know the type. So
Like I said, I talked to a few.
this leads all up to June 4th, 2008, just weeks after that blog post about the dating life thing, which was May 18th of 2008. Now we're in June of 2008, okay?
Right.
Chris, Travis's friend, was hosting a training call around noon, and so he texted Travis to confirm that he was going to be attending, and all was confirmed. He never showed up to that meeting.
Uh-oh.
So, wasn't a big deal, whatever. June 6th comes. Everyone, like in their friend group, they were all going to Cancun. Travis was going with a strictly platonic friend named Mimi. Like, there was no romantic feelings there. It was a group of six friends, Chris and Sky, which they're married, Jacob and Holly, they're married, and Travis and Mimi, who were just friends. Needing deposits and confirmations, Chris sends out texts to the group, and Travis just doesn't respond. June 9th, no one's heard from Travis since the 4th when he confirmed that he would be showing up to the conference call for training, which he never showed up to. So now 5 days, no response from Travis, and his group is like on the way to Mexico.
Right, without him.
Right, so Travis's voicemail was full, of course. They called him a million times. They called for a wellness check, but the cops told them basically like, we can't go in just because he's not coming to the door. So
What?
there's no signs of foul play. There's no signs of anybody in distress. They can't just break into someone's house because they're not answering the phone.
I could like give a welfare check.
They could give a welfare check, but if they break into that house and they're in there and they're just like, yeah, I've just been dodging my friends, that's
That's
illegal.
suspicious activity, so you don't know.
Well,
Why would he not answer the
so
door for the
that's why it's a
cops?
fine line with the police because,
Weird.
I mean, they can't just barge in, which I kind of get that. So they get a hold of a mutual friend who know people closer to Travis, and then they can't do anything else but wait. So Mimi's freaked out because she can't reach him either, and they were supposed to fly out together to go to Mexico because they're like buddied up.
Right.
So Mimi calls a friend to meet at Travis's house, and this friend meets her along with this friend's boyfriend. So there's three of them there knocking on the door. Which just leaves them with more questions than answers because all they can hear is Travis's dog barking on the other side.
Ooh.
Another mutual friend of theirs gave them the garage code so that they were able to get inside the house. So they go in through the garage, they're able to get in. They were immediately aware of a very bad smell in the house, but I mean, it's a bunch of bachelors, so I mean, it could have been just, dirty
No.
housekeeping and stuff. So walking in, Travis's phone and wallet were on his desk, which was unusual. Zach, who was Travis's roommate, was home in his room listening to music, and he told them that he thought that Travis was already in Mexico because he hasn't seen him.
Oh.
Yeah. So Travis's
So how does
bedroom,
he not know that it smells?
because there are a bunch of dudes, I don't know. Sometimes our house smells
No,
funky, and I'm like,
no
why does it
way.
smell weird in here? And you're like, I don't
No, if
smell
it smelled like a
anything.
rotting body. Have you ever smelled a rotting
Okay,
body?
no, I've never smelled a rotting
Oh, it's
body, but
so
listen,
bad.
have you ever just been in a room that smelled like in a house, somebody's house
No,
that smells bad and you
no,
just get used to the smell? You had to go
no.
like nose blind?
Rotting flesh is totally different than that.
But he's several rooms away.
Does not matter.
Okay,
You
I
would
don't know.
smell it. Oh my
I don't
gosh.
know. I'm just saying
I
that
just want to know what
he
this
did
dude
not
was doing
know.
for like a whole week straight and didn't even see
Right.
him.
So they go to Travis's room. And Travis's bedroom door is locked. So Zach had a spare key, so he went down to get it. He came back up, and together they walked into Travis's room, and the smell smacked them in the face.
I'm sure it did.
So it was very obviously like the smell of decay, like not.
Right, it's a very obvious smell.
So outside the bathroom was a large pool of blood on the carpet. There's blood everywhere. Travis's body was discovered on the floor of his shower. So he was passed away. They immediately call 911 and they all tell the police immediately about their suspicions of Jody. Like, they were not taking no no time to be like, you can do an investigation. No, they were like, Jody did this.
Right. 100%
Jody did this. So they're all just like, go find Jody. So Jody at this time was in Utah to see a friend named Ryan Burns, who she was having a romantic relationship with.
Of course she was.
Of course she was. Right. Jody makes up a whole story of where she was the days leading up to this discovery of Travis's body, and her hands were wrapped in bandages, like, also just suspicious, because obviously he fought back.
Right.
Why are her hands cut up? Okay. So, we don't go into gory details in this podcast, but to kind of understand what happened, I have to tell you.
But we could on the Patreon.
How he died. Okay, we don't have a Patreon, just not yet. Let's not get more regular yet before we get a Patreon, okay? So,
can I just tell you one thing? So, yeah. Darius of the Podcast of Pain.
Yep.
He has a Patreon, and all I know is he has a new co-host on there. His name's William.
Oh, that's like a permanent thing?
I'm assuming, because he's in the picture.
Okay.
But they both said that for the Patreon, they would be showing their butthole for $1.
No, they're not.
I'm half tempted to go spend $1 just to look.
Okay, so I'm going to pretend
know if
you
that's
never
gay
said that.
Or...
So, Travis, we're going to go back to the case. Like, anyways, so Travis was brutally murdered, right? Okay. He didn't just, like, slip and fall in the shower. Like, he was obviously killed by somebody. He had 29 stab wounds, and he was also shot with a pistol, and his throat was cut, basically, like, from ear to ear.
That's, like, more than double tapping.
Okay, well, anyways.
That's wild.
I know. So he had had several defensive wounds, indicating that he obviously fought back. I mean, and Jody's hands are wrapped in bandages, so, I mean, you put two and two together. For Travis's memorial service, sorry, I just dropped my microphone.
You said through a rock?
I just dropped my microphone.
Oh.
For Travis's memorial service, Jody had the audacity to show up.
No way.
I swear. So she asked one of Travis's friends to take her by the house so that she could see it. Like, girl, what you need to go there for?
She was trying to hook up this friend?
No. No, his friends hated her.
So why would she ask his friend to take her there?
I don't know. She's crazy.
Did he take her?
No.
Okay.
So she didn't show up for the funeral, and she was definitely not welcome there, and she knew it. So around 1,000 people showed up and attended his funeral because he was a very popular, well-liked guy. He was very loved and touched so many lives. Ultimately, Jody is on trial at this point now for killing Travis. Her trial is... unique. Her trial was unique with many odd occurrences. She testified for 18 days. And then, in the end, she claimed it was self-defense. She claimed that there was...
She
also claimed that there was masked intruders and that she suffered memory loss. She was diagnosed with PTSD. That is one thing she was diagnosed with by a psychiatrist, like a court-ordered
one. Well, that makes
one.
Sense because, of course, your brain's going to be messed up when you kill somebody.
Right. Initially, she tells police that she has nothing to do with Travis's death, but now she claims she killed him in self-defense. She's claimed the masked intruders thing. She claims that Travis was becoming abusive, and at one point he choked her out, but there's nothing, absolutely no support of this by anybody.
Well, yeah, because like every time she gave a statement, like it was always off. Something
right.
was different.
and it's always a telling tale sign when they're changing their story. Like, if you didn't kill him in the first place, why didn't you just say that?
So you can see this in a conspiracy theory, but not with your own kids.
Anyways, gotcha. So my kids don't lie about anything serious. So Jody's grandparents had reported their pistol missing about a week before the murder. And this gun, coincidentally, is the exact match to the one used to the murder of Travis.
So it's possible that Jody's done this.
Yeah, no, it's...
I'm just kidding.
So that's the smoking gun right there. So she tells the jury, I know I lied before, but now I'm telling the truth. Like, girl, nobody believes you now.
Right.
Okay, so you can't just lie to the jury because they're the ones that are deciding. So during interrogation, Jody sobbed, for hours straight. When she was finally left alone, they watched on camera her mood shift. She was talking to herself, talking to the garbage can, laughing. She gets up, she does a handstand, and she just waits.
Oh yeah, she's a monster.
I think she's just not right. So Jody was found guilty of first degree murder. Surprise, surprise. She was up for the death penalty, but after two mistrials, basically two juries couldn't come to a decision altogether. She was ultimately sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. And that is the case of the brutal murder of Travis Alexander. And this is why dating crazy people is not advised. And also listen to your friends, as I know.
Ugh.
And again, just to plug in one more time, this episode was brought to you by the Podcast of Pain.
But not tactical
And
trash out.
Darius did recommend this case. And so, Darius, there you are. I bought the book.
Think you need to ask him if it's Darius or Darius, because his friend calls him Darius all the time.
Yeah, I guess. Is it Darius or Darius? Let me know. I mean, let me know on work when I come back next week.
Let us know if it's dare or dir.
Or send me a voice chat on Snap and then I'll know.
Or send me a voice chat on Snap and we'll know.
One of the two. So I guess we'll turn it over to Curtis's Conspiracy Corner. And this is where everybody likes to sign off. If that's the case, I hope you guys have a good week and everything is
Wow.
good for you.
They already
And
fast forwarded to this.
anyways.
Okay, so this week may not be as good, or it could be the best one yet.
I just like the very plain, basic, like the sphere. I like the sphere.
Speaking of spheres,
Oh, goodness. He's gonna go on a flat Earth conspiracy.
look, where's my phone at here?
Oh, Hojo's about to have a
I
heyday.
what?
Hojo's about to have a heyday.
Why?
Just go ahead. I wanna hear.
See, I'm just struggling because I'm going down these rabbit holes, okay?
Okay.
And for the past few weeks, I've
I
been.
was literally just waiting for our listeners to be like, okay, like answer you. Anyways, continue. I'm tired.
Wow. Yeah,
It's
me
late.
too. So, why'd you have to do that? Make me lose my train of thought.
So you were
I'm
going
just
down these
kidding. I
rabbit
know.
holes. Okay.
So I'm like searching these rabbit holes and searching these rabbit holes. And I know I've told you, but for our listeners, just act surprised.
Okay.
So, when you're in school, you get taught like math, right?
Right.
And they tell you that 2 plus 2 equals 4.
Yeah.
And that's right. But if you were to say 2 plus 2 equals 7, it would be wrong.
Okay, yeah. I mean, because if you have two of something and then you have two more of
Yeah.
something, it's not just going to be seven because there's a numerical
But it's wrong because your
order.
teacher told you it was wrong.
No, it's wrong because there's numerical order. Like, she didn't invent the numbers.
Right. So you can't just invent something and say it's correct.
Correct.
So, over the last couple of weeks, I just don't understand how we were ever taught evolution when evolution has never been proven.
No, it hasn't. It's just a theory, and that's why they call it the theory of evolution.
Right, but how can they teach you it? They don't
My
tell you it's just a
biggest
theory.
issue
They
with
tell you it's real.
evolution is, well, one, I'm a Christian, so I don't believe in that. And two, my second biggest theory issue with the theory of evolution is if we were evolving from something, that other, like, previous evolution would be, eradicated, basically.
But not just that, we would like notice differences. So mankind's been around since cavemen. And the
Right.
only thing that's ever changed is our intelligence.
Or the way we walk, our spinal structure.
There's no difference in spinal structure.
Yeah,
Oh,
but they
'cause
were
it
all
was
like
hunched
hunched
over.
over, yeah.
But did you know that there's
And
like
their
no
feet were
proof of any of
calloused and
that?
stuff. Well, I guess not.
Right, because they've never found the bones.
But they have found bones of like skeletons of like giants and stuff.
Yes, they have found those.
But I don't think we evolved from giants either.
So I want to add to that as well in the same rabbit hole. I found the year. So, in episode 2, I want to say, we spoke about a flat earth. Okay.
Did we?
So we're talking about evolution.
We talked about Flat Earth
Sorry,
on the
I told
podcast?
you about flat earth. I believe so. Because it was a
Okay.
theory, and I'm supposed to tell you that I don't believe in any of these.
The disclaimer is that we're not claiming fact or fiction. We are just putting them out there for you to look up into further detail. And
yeah, Ashley doesn't.
The only facts on this podcast are the true crime ones. And that's on facts.
Give it like 6 to 9 months. We'll probably be on the conspiracy part two.
Okay, we'll see.
I mean, I didn't say that. Okay, so the crazy part is, right?
Okay.
So you can search anything on the internet.
Yep.
Unless it was something they didn't want you to see, per se. Like, for instance, I've talked about how when we were over in Saudi Arabia, if you tried to look up porn, it would literally not let you.
So country that if you looked up porn or something, they would like come there and arrest you?
If you actually had it, Saudi Arabia, China does it too.
Really?
Most communist
countries.
Just
search your IP address?
Yeah. But they can block it, and it says that this content is blocked by the Kingdom of Bahrain.
Is that Saudi Arabia?
Yeah, it's part of it. It's like in Saudi Arabia. But like it's blocked out from that, so you can't even see it, right?
Weird that you memorized that blocking screen.
Yeah, well...
Anyways,
so in 1958, there's an encyclopedia called the Britannica.
Okay.
And in the Britannica...
I know, which by the way, Curtis was just offered like a full set of those, by the way. Shout out.
For real.
Anyways, continue.
In 1958, there's a... Okay, you know what? Let me do this, because a lot of people, including Ashley, had no idea what a Britannica was. So... Before there was the internet, you had the Britannicas, which was an encyclopedia on everything you could possibly
think of. The dinosaur internet, if you will.
Yes, it was literally a book collection of probably hundreds of books. I think there was like 64. I have no idea. Anyways, and you could look up anything you needed to, like maybe a world record or like how something worked. There'd be gardening tips in there. I mean...
So basically Google, but in a book, in ABC
order. Correct, before it was around.
Alphabetical order, right?
So, yes. I believe so. Yeah, because they were on the spines. In 1958, in the exact model of it, okay?
Okay.
They talk about the ice dome that's above Antarctica and have the coordinates and the location of the ice barrier
of
where the Earth ends.
At what point did they start teaching that the Earth was round?
1959.
Okay. So if you're listening and you were in school prior to 1959, I'm not going to say any names, but let me know if that's what you were taught in school. And if not, because see, I was under the idea that we were taught that the earth was round when pilgrim guy, what's his name? Bella knows him.
What?
He sailed the ocean. He was looking for India. And when
Christopher Columbus?
Yes. That he came up over the horizon. Is that not right?
Listen, all I'm going to say is this, because that is the
history,
most
okay?
wild thing
time
I've heard.
Time is a flat circle. I can say that. Time
for those
does
of
not
you,
exist to
that
me.
This may be your first episode. I was in the Navy on an aircraft carrier.
Okay.
And I've seen the ocean, and only the ocean, for days at a time. Imagine being out there and not seeing any land, because it's not like anything you've
dark?
Ever seen. Is it dark?
Like at night.
Yeah.
So, okay.
But
so here's another question, like just a sidebar. How do you have electricity on a boat?
By powering it? That's what my job was.
But like gas?
No, by steam. You take the salt water and then there's like units that desolidify the water.
So it's self-sufficient.
Yeah, it's self-sufficient. You're constantly running and you're constantly making it like a battery.
So
it's like one giant.
Would it seem like environmentally correct if we all just went and lived on boats on the endless ocean?
No.
Why?
See, a lot of things that you don't know, like we took our trash and threw it overboard. And off the coast of California, there is a barge back in 2015, so like 7 years ago. At that point, it was like 6.3 miles long of just trash.
Ew.
Like right off the land.
That's... Well, you know what? A lot of places, landfills and stuff kind of don't help with that either.
Yeah, but it's even worse when it's in our water supply.
Well, they've actually found that fish contain plastic. They've actually found human DNA containing plastic now.
Yeah,
little
at this
small
point in time, yeah, probably.
Yeah. We're made up of partially plastic now because of our food.
I mean, everything's an atom, so yeah. And food's definitely on there.
Yeah. I mean, have you ever watched that documentary about the dolphins and the tuna?
Oh my gosh, I thought you were going to talk about Michael Moore and McDonald's.
No, I was
Because I
talking
think
about
about that all the
I think about
time.
the dolphins and the tuna and the plastic and the fish and all of that. I also think about Dawn dish soap.
I always think about, and you might not remember this, you might be too young. Sorry.
I'm always too young.
The pop, or for some of our listeners, soda, or
Soda.
some of our listeners, Coke cans. They used to have plastic rings around them, and they would make such a big
Oh,
deal on
I
TV
know
about how
that.
you had to cut them so the
Because it
turtles wouldn't
gets
get them
stuck
stuck around
on
their
the
necks.
animal's necks, like
I guess
the.
you are old enough.
Yeah, I remember that. I mean, I don't ever. I mean, so first of all, shout out to my mom if she's listening. We were too poor for that stuff. We never had stuff like that. I would put water in a cup and fill it up with like salt and sugar, just trying to flavor it all the time, just growing up like we were poor. And like my mom also just never went to the store. So shout out
Shout out to Heather, because Ashley
to
told me one time that, most families plan out like meals or whatever during the week. We definitely don't. But even though Ashley's bought a whole calendar
I
for
did
it.
buy a calendar for it, but just like the podcast, I'm not really good with routine.
So
So
in
here
her
I
home
am.
routine with her mom, she said that on Thursday nights they had to get out a journal piece of paper and they would write down like their hopes and their dreams, and then they would have to eat that for dinner to
That's
make them
not true.
stronger
That
kids.
is not true. So there's like a lot of things in my childhood that I remember that apparently nobody else does. That's not one of them.
I didn't expect you to say
Just saying. It's not.
that.
I'll give credit where credit's due and not credit where credit's not due.
True.
So, your conspiracy theory is that.
The conspiracy theory is that evolution is not real,
Okay, the evolution's
and that
not
there
real.
is no proof of evolution
So,
ever.
is your
And if
conspiracy
somebody
theory
can
on
prove it, they'll get
evolution?
a shout out, but there's
Is
nothing.
your conspiracy theory on evolution or is it on the Earth dome?
I guess my real conspiracy theory is, why are we told about evolution and the Earth being round if there's proof that it was not?
So I think there's like three theories that they have, which is creation, which is a Christian
Yep.
creation, basically. Then there's evolution, and then there's the Big Bang Theory. Are those two the same?
Okay, so I think you're thinking of creation and the Big Bang, which would be the same thing in a scenario.
No. I'm
Evolution's
thinking of
completely
creation as
different.
like the Bible, the way bi the Bible talks about the earth
Correct.
being started.
So
Because
there's
that's
a
what
theory of
I
creation, and
believe
then there's
in.
a theory of the Big Bang.
Yeah.
Those two
So
are the same thing, but from different perspectives. Evolution
basically,
is its own.
the Big Bang Theory doesn't make sense to me because it was explained to me like this. Can you take all the pieces to your watch and mix it up in a box and then pull out a watch, a fully functioning watch? And not just do it once, but do it
No.
twice for a male and a female watch, okay, to reproduce baby watches. No, you cannot. So that is why the Big Bang Theory does not work for me. It does not make sense to me. Evolution does
Said to
not
make
make.
baby watches.
Okay, I'm just being,
You
you
think
know.
that that really just grinds their gears?
Goodbye. I can't believe that was a good one. That was a really good one. Oh man, your dev jokes are on point there.
Really just keeps my heart a ticking.
So, anyways, that's why the Big Bang Theory is not one that works
You
for
imagine a
me.
little watch that's like, you
If
spin
you
me
believe
right
in if you
round,
believe
baby, right
in one of
round.
these other theories, I'm not judging you. I'm just saying we can agree to disagree because it's not for me. And then also evolution because we still have like monkeys, we still have like I mean, if evolution was the case, wouldn't we have people that could like partially breathe underwater if they lived by the water? You know what I'm
I
saying?
mean,
Like
if
we
you're
would
gonna
evolve
start,
to
I
that.
mean, right. They would. That's a valid point too.
Right.
But the fact that just blows my mind is we were taught that that's exactly what happens, and there's no proof of that ever.
Right.
Trust me, this whole theory, if you go back through it all, just will blow your mind out of the water.
Yeah. No, I get it. I think it's crazy, but I think that it's an interesting topic. If you have an opinion, let me know. I mean, I don't really care which way you think. So
True.
if you believe the earth is flat, cool. If you believe the earth is round, cool.
If you believe Jody Arias was a normal person, though, you're weird.
Don't no, we cannot agree on that. Sorry. There's no agree to disagree. If you 'cause there you know what though? She got married in prison. And there's a lot of people who think she did not do it.
Well, a lot of people don't think Charles Manson did it either.
Charles Manson technically didn't do it. He had a following.
That's a good
I know.
point.
I mean, he was just a cult leader.
Oh my gosh.
That's what I'm saying.
Did I ever tell you that I went to school with his cousin? She
Charles.
used to bring up all the time that she was his cousin.
Was she a hippie? Oh!
No, but she's demonic now.
Speaking of being a hippie, getting dreads in my hair.
Just want to let you guys know that I'm dreading
Yeah, he is. But you
it.
know what? I want dreads in my hair because one, I want my hair to grow, and two, I think it's kind of a cute look, and three, my sister-in-law has them and she likes them. Actually, she just shaved them all off.
What?
She cut all of her hair off. She cut them all off at the root, except for like two dreads.
So she's like me now?
No, not quite. Kind of like my brother, like Shaggy. I'll have to show you a picture. She sent me one.
Did she donate her hair?
I don't know, she probably could have because it can get combed out.
I'm curious now. I want to know.
Yeah, I'm about to ask her because I'm curious. Well, I'm not going to ask her right now because
Okay,
it's
we're
midnight.
rambling.
So, all right. You're right. So,
I hope
anyways.
to talk to you guys next week if Ashley ever gets around to it.
Yeah, I have a case idea for next week, but send in your suggestions. Our email is partnersincrimethepodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Instagram, which I don't have access to still, and I have to get access to post pictures. And that's Partners in Crime the Podcast, or at Partners in Crime the Podcast. Or you can just keep listening. You got anything else to add?
Yeah, this podcast was brought to you by Tactical Trash Out.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Big or small, we haul it all.
Okay.
I'm just kidding.
I'm cutting that part out. All right.
I can't stand you.
Everybody have a good week.
Bye, everybody.
See you later. Goodbye.